Greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking together about the subject, spiritual sacrifices we offer to God. I pointed out in the very beginning that this whole idea of offering sacrifices to God is taken from the Old Testament practice that God established for the Israelites, that they were to offer blood sacrifices to God. So the idea of sacrifices was a very real concept to them, because every year they were offering dozens of different sacrifices to God on various occasions. Now in our lives, I also pointed out, we offer various sacrifices to God. And these sacrifices may include church attendance, observance of various things in the church, our good works that we seek to do, the gifts we give to the church to support the work, and all of these different things. And I want to especially emphasize in sharing this with you that these things are important to God. Our church attendance, our support of the church, the good things we do every day, the ways we seek to please and honor God in the way we live before other people, these things are important. Just as the Old Testament sacrifices were important. Throughout their history, God expected them to continue to offer these Old Testament sacrifices. The problem came when these sacrifices became a substitute for other things in their hearts. In other words, their hearts were not walking with God. And so these sacrifices became a substitute. Some of these people were very wealthy. They had money. They had many, many cattle. And so they would select a few of these cattle. They would meet all of the requirements of God. They would perfectly obey the law, in other words, in meeting all of these different requirements, but in their hearts, they were far from God. I want to emphasize also, again and again in this series of messages, that in our hearts, it is possible for us to be doing everything else except to have a heart relationship with God and be offering the right kind of heart sacrifices to God. I pointed out before, the very first sacrifice you need to offer to God is a sacrifice of your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. This is where it all begins. It doesn't begin with church attendance. It doesn't begin with good works that we seek to do. The works of righteousness which we do, none of them can save us. None of them will have a part in our salvation. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, this is the very first sacrifice you need to offer to God. But then, having trusted Him as your Savior from sin, having repented of your sins and asking the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you and save you from your sins, having done this, you now have a relationship with God, and now it's important that in your daily life and in your daily walk before God, you offer to God everything He wants from your hearts. Today, I want to talk about righteousness and holiness. This is a very important heart offering that we make to God. And there's no substitute for righteousness and holiness in the Christian life. If you were to look at the book of Romans, chapters 5 and 6, you see a very strange thing happening in the lives of new Christians. In chapter 5 of Romans, he makes it very clear that we are saved only through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then down towards the end of that fifth chapter of Romans, he says, "That as sin did abound or increase, so did grace even more abound or increase." Now, some people got the wrong idea. They got the idea somehow that, after all, I am saved by the grace of God. Therefore, the more I sin, the more grace I get. How wonderful. And so they were going ahead, and they were living lives of sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? God forbid. How can we who are dead live any longer therein? How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so he continues in this sixth chapter, combating, refuting this argument of some of these Christians that they could go ahead and sin as they pleased. Over in the book of 1 Peter, we find a very, very important truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And this truth is here. But as he which has called you is holy, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Now, some people who love sin and who walk continually in sin, who desire sin with all their hearts, who feel nothing in the way of righteousness at all, they feel no call of God to holiness at all, although it may be true they are simply ignorant of the truth of holiness, in many of their hearts it may be simply indicating they have never been saved. I don't want to cause you to doubt your salvation if you're living in sin. But 1 John chapter 2 makes it very clear. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I'm not trying to cause you to doubt salvation if you have truly trusted the Lord Jesus. But if your whole heart is turned towards sin, if that's the whole desire of your life, your hearts are devoted to sin, you walk daily in sin, you have no love for righteousness or holiness or right walk before God, you perhaps had better go back and ask yourself the question, was this so-called decision I made really heart trust in the Lord Jesus? And was I born again by the Spirit of God? I think it's right sometimes for people to ask themselves that question. Now, my emphasis needs to be this, and that is that in the Christian life, God has called us to righteousness and holy. We serve a holy God. God hates sin. He does not condone sin. Every sin offends God. And we need to recognize this, that our God is a holy God. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, God's love is unconditional. No, the sharing of God's love is conditional. And that is that when we sin, we lose the blessing and the favor of God. And sometimes when we cry out to God, Israel did this in the Old Testament. They would cry out to God. Even when they had sinned terribly against God, they would cry out to God and say, God, why is it you don't love us anymore? Why have you forsaken us as you have? And God would answer them, because your hearts are so far from me. You're not walking in righteousness. You have turned to sin, and your lives are not righteous lives. And I deal with righteous people. People are walking in righteousness. I don't want you to misunderstand this truth about holiness. We will never be perfect as long as we live in this world, but our hearts are still to be set upon righteousness and holiness. We are still to deal daily with sin in our lives. I realize there are people who teach sinless perfection once you've been saved. There is no such teaching in the Word of God. The Word of God is clearly indicating that the old nature is still going to cause us problems in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean we condone sin, that we approve of sin, or that we excuse sin when we commit it, but we are still going to be daily tempted. We're going to need victory over sin with the help of the Holy Spirit constantly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 teaches us, There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a means of escape. So we don't excuse sin. But sometimes we will fail. But our hearts are to be set on righteousness. We don't look for failure. We don't seek after failure. We don't condone it. We don't excuse it when it comes. We deal with failure every time it comes. Any sin of the thought and the word and the feelings and the attitudes and the actions that we commit, we confess it to God. This is a teaching of John 15, verses 1 to 3. So God has taught us that we are to be holy as He is holy. And so I would urge you, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your only Savior from sin, and you are saved and in right relationship with God, set your hearts upon righteousness. You may be a young person listening to this broadcast, but you can set your heart on righteousness. Don't excuse yourself simply because you're a child or a young person. From the very moment you trust the Lord Jesus, set your heart on righteousness. And so I would pray for this, for each of you, that you might find this desire in your life, and your heart might be set upon righteousness, and that nothing else will be a substitute for this. May God bless you as you seek to live righteous lives.